Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the War Room. You got Dev, Q, Jimmy, PJ, and B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
We'll give it to you how you want it in a 1 to 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level. Bold with them topics, sort of like some rebels. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five show on primetime. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. From sports medicine to sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 mics at the round table. 5 Philly guys diversified and educated.
What's up, war room family? We'd like to once again welcome you all into the war room. We're your hosts. I'm Devin, and I'm here with B. Austin, PJ, Jimmy, and Akil. We have a great show for you tonight. We'll discuss most of the craziness of Week 7 of the NFL season and look ahead to Week 8. We'll recap the big matchups from the first two nights of the NBA season and talk about some pressing NBA storylines. We'll also get a kill season prediction since he was jet-setting during the last show. And later on in the second hour, in honor of the World Series, we'll welcome our baseball contributor, Brent Easley, and reintroduce our best-ever segment with a debate on the greatest baseball movies of all time. Our debate will bring you guys right up to the first pitch of Game 2 of the series. We like to hear from you guys as well, so we want to hear which movies you like, which movies make your cut, so please call in with your opinions when we open up the phone line. But as usual, if you have a question, comment, or opinion on any of our topics tonight, make sure you call in and voice it at 323-410-0012. Be sure to stay tuned throughout the show to hear who will be our special guest in the War Room next week. Before we get started, we'd like to give our guys Chris and Roy from the Broad Street Line a shout. The Broad Street Line is a great Philly sports show that airs on Blog Talk Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m., and it is hilarious. And the guys definitely know their stuff. Our other favorite show, Ball Control Radio, with our favorite ladies of sports, Danny and Mel, airs directly after those guys at 7 p.m. So if you need your hump day sports fix, these are the two shows to hear. But right now, everybody, we're going to jump right into today's birthday.
My birthday, yay!
All right, the first birthday is one, Terrell Lamar Davis. He turns 38 today. He's a retired running back from the Denver Broncos. He's their all-time leading rusher, 7,607 yards. Jimmy, the Broncos fan, what do you think of when you hear Terrell Davis?
Yo, Terrell Davis is one of the greatest running backs to ever put on cleats. And I think that although he had a short career, he needs to be in the Hall of Fame. Because if bum-ass Joe Namath could make the Hall of Fame, then they should put Terrell Davis in the Hall of Fame. And he's also the coolest dude ever, over 30 years old, to wear braces.
With braces, yeah. B. Austin, Terrell Davis.
Oh, man, what could have been, what should have been, had that career been longer and them knees would have lasted, man.
I think he got what he came for. Kill, Terrell Davis.
Man, Terrell Davis. Man, he was a beast when he played. Probably could have went down as one of the greatest. Had not the knee injuries took him out. Short career, great running back, rushed for 2,000, and helped Elway get his two Super Bowls.
Yo, you know his career was short if he had a 2,000-yard season and he only ended up with 7,600 yards. His knee gave out on him. All right, our second birthday is one Leonard Randolph. You might know him as Lenny Wilkins. He's 73, retired NBA player and coach. B. Austin,
my
Lenny
birthday.
Wilkins.
Yay!
Yo, why did his hair look like that? His hair looked like Brillo pad.
What'd you say, Brillo pad?
His hair looked like Brillo pad, but onto his basketball acumen, Lenny was nice, and he was one of the last player coaches. People don't know that when he was a Sonic as a player, he was also coaching. 1,000 wins and like 900 losses.
Kill. There you go.
Man, what a lot of people don't know is Lenny Wilkins was a great player, you know, a great point guard out of NYC. But all I really remember him as is, you know, a coach getting the most wins and having like smooth hair, pause, all the way up until like his 70s.
Jimmy.
Yo, Lenny Wilkins reminds me of a combination between like Max Julian and Ron O'Neill. He looks like Superfly in the Mac, like, you know, had a baby, Paul.
Yo, you know what I think of? I think of that rant I went on a few weeks ago. Lenny Wilkins was always considered a class act. And that's kind of, actually, as a coach, they always talk about how many wins he has, but the dude has no championships, so he might be a little overrated. But he's a class act.
I'm not
supposed to say that, though, because he's a class act. This next birthday, this is probably a favorite of all of ours. This is one Stephen Dennis Atwater.
My birthday, yay!
Steve Atwater, the assassin, turns 44 today. Jimmy, another Bronco. What you got?
Yo, Steve Atwater, the one thing I remember about him is when he laid out Christian Okoye and then looked into the camera and told him it was a mind game. It's a mind game, baby. Yo, Christian Okoye was a beast. And he just laid him out like it was nothing.
Yo, it was like, yo, two walls just hitting each other and one wall just crumbled. He just stood over and like,
yeah.
Brad.
Steve Atwater was a tremendous athlete. I remember a game versus the Redskins when Ricky Sanders went up to catch a ball at the first down marker. Steve Atwater caught him in the air and carried him back 10 yards for no gain because forward progress wasn't in play because his feet never touched the ground. So it ended up being 0 yards gain.
Yo, that's hot. Kill.
Oh, what I remember is that hit on Monday night to Christian Okoye. I mean, he sat my man down, and the Nigerian nightmare became like the Nigerian.
Yo, he never recovered from that hit.
Exactly.
Yo, it's crazy because I think, you know, between him and Ronnie Lott, those are your two hardest-hitting safeties of all time. Speaking of safeties, we had another birthday, but he got bumped when I found Steve Atwater because Sean Considine is a bum. That's all we need to say. We're going to move on.
We're going to move on
to one Bruce Jenner, 60 years old. He's a
gold
medalist in the decathlon in 1976. But more importantly, he is the stepfather to the Kardashian sisters.
My birthday, yay!
What do you think of when you think of Bruce Jenner, B. Austin?
There's a God somewhere. Thank you for what you put into the Kardashian sisters in terms of parenting and the things you didn't do.
Yo, he just thanked the boy for his stepkids. Jimmy, Bruce Jenner.
I have no comment. After what he just said, I'm not even going to comment. Yo, let Kill say something.
Kill.
Man, I think about back in the day to being on the Wheaties box and being like the first Olympic athlete as a 77 born child that I could kind of remember. And he did like the 20th con or something. I don't know what he did.
Now, you know that's not what you think of when you heard Kardashian and Bruce Jenner.
Yeah, basically we don't even think of Bruce Jenner. We think of
there's a God somewhere.
Turn around for me, ladies. All right, everybody. That's your birthdays for the day. Jimmy's going to let us know what happened while you guys were on the grind.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about it. So the first story I want to talk about is one Dan Gilbert, the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, who happened to beat the Boston Celtics last night. He was fielding questions still, and he's still answering questions about LBJ, LeBron James. And basically, he didn't back down from anything that he had previously said. So what's your guys' opinion on, for one, Cleveland upset in Boston and also about the owner still sticking to his guns, Dev?
Yo, the game, first of all, that was hot. It's not going to happen too many more times. They were playing on a high. When he made his comments, I didn't really, you know, I didn't particularly care for him. But it's kind of crazy because, you know, I do like when people speak their mind in sports, so kind of on the fence about it, but he went kind of hard at LeBron.
I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
He might as well say that.
Dan Gilbert went hard.
Hey, Kill, what you think when you hear about him sticking to his guns and also your thoughts on the game last night?
Well, man, when it first came out, the comments about LeBron, I mean, he really, you know, went at LeBron, like, hard, like, in a very disrespectful way. But as a owner, he sounded like a woman scorned, basically, like a woman found out she was cheated on, or a guy found out he was cheated on. And now he's kind of like, he's not as, I guess, boisterous, but at the end of the day, he's like, yo, man, the dude, like, you know, he left us up in the air, so, you know, screw him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Bagging. Yeah. Well, B. Austin, what's your thoughts?
This is one of those cases where I think both parties was wrong. So,
yeah.
You know, Dan Gilbert definitely had a personal vested interest in LeBron, and I feel like he felt hurt and betrayed, but by the same token, his business.
Yeah.
I think Ramon, and I don't call LeBron anymore, he's Ramon. I think Ramon is a Charlie Batch, and if you take the A out of Batch and put an I there, you get me. But Dan Gilbert is like every other owner. He feels threatened by the power that LeBron wields economically and as, you know, stepping to him as an equal. So.
Got you. All right, well, let's move on to the next story. My thought on the whole thing is I'm glad he did speak his mind, but it also was kind of corny. My thing is if you feel that way, why don't you say those kind of things when he's still on your team? Anyway,
he was definitely out of line.
Yeah, this next story I find funny because anybody who knows me knows that I'm a huge hoops fan, and I've been watching every game like the last couple nights. In the first game when Cleveland played Boston, I noticed when Rondo came out, he didn't have his like headband on like he usually wears, and I was trying to figure out why. So we found out the story why. The NBA, they banned players from wearing their headbands upside down because they have like the NBA logo on it, and they wanted to show, you know. But that makes no sense to me. Like, we don't know is the NBA logo if it's upside down. So Rondo, instead of, like, you know, just complying with the league offices, decided not to wear his headband. So I'll go around the room again. Dev, what's your opinion?
Yo, they're going to start telling people what kind of drawers they can wear, too, man.
What the hell is that?
Like, that's corny. Like, I don't have nothing on that. Be Austin, what you got? That's corny.
I'm going to go a different direction, brothers, and I'm going to look back to a point in time when the league really felt like they no longer had a fan base that could relate to the players in front of them. They had a problem with your Allen Iversons. They had a problem with your Steven Jacksons. They had a problem with your Ron Artest because they were too representative of urban hip-hop thug, you know, whatever negative connotation you have with that. So now,
jumps to the crowd and beat fans up.
Yo, some of those cats had problems with law enforcement outside of the
sure.
NBA. So
sure.
I don't know about all that.
But one extreme shouldn't beget another, and I think that now, as a balancing act, David Stern and the league are taking it in another direction. And they're telling these dudes, you know, when they can go to the bathroom, when they can sit down, when they can stand up, what size clothes they can wear, whether they get a light-skinned wife or a dark-skinned wife or a white girl. I mean, it's just crazy.
Cool. Sorry. Let's hear what Kill got to say about it. Kill, what's your opinion?
Man, I think that's horrible that they're going to say, yeah, the NBA logo is upside down. You can't wear that. Like, this is America. I mean, civil liberties. And 76, you know, in the 14th Amendment for blacks. So they're taking away rights from people, from the workers, you know?
Yeah, I think that's kind of whack. Real quick, I just want to hear your real quick thoughts on this. Albert Haynesworth said that he can be great, but not playing in a 3-4 system. What's your opinions real quick on that?
Yo,
then he can't be great.
Albert Haynesworth, once again, is making a whole lot of money. Just suck it up and play. He's worried about the stats more so than helping his team. You can read between the lines and basically see where he's coming from.
I'd sell my soul for a donut.
Real quick, B. Austin, what's your thoughts real quick?
I think that Albert Haynesworth is a Ramon. I mean, which Ramon is synonymous with another word for female dog. Yo, you're getting $100 million. You got $32 million up front. suck it up
40,
and play.
40,
I've even seen 40. The team has reached out to him. He made a decent play on the goal line this weekend, and everybody jumped around him and tried to pat him on the back and make him feel as though he's a part of the team. And dude is still just being himself. He's corny, man.
Okay, I'll kill real quick. What do you think about that?
I feel you.
Let's jump to the next story real quick. Yeah, Barry Bonds wants to be a hitting coach. Now, my quick opinion on this is, if Mark McGwire can be a hitting coach, why can't Barry Bonds? Now, I want to hear what you guys got to say about this, Dev.
I mean, Barry Bonds is one of the best hitters of all time. Why can't he be a hitting coach? I mean,
before he turned into a Hawk, he was already a good hitter.
Right. Before his hat went up like six sizes, he was still a good hitter. So, you know, as long as he don't pass out needles with the bats, everything will be all right.
All right, B. Austin, real quick, what's your thoughts on Barry Bonds wanting to be a hitting coach?
I mean, yo, he can give his players tips on the cream and the clear.
Man, if Mark McGwire did any coach and he took steroids, then why not, let Barry Bonds get any coach since he took steroids.
That's exactly my thought. One more story real quick I want to talk about. The Portland Trailblazers, they're accused of sending damaged goods, who is Martell Webster, to the Timberwolves. Dez, what's your thought on this real quick?
Man, my thought is at least they ain't try to send him Greg Oden. Go ahead, bro.
Yo, did y'all see Greg Oden last night at the game?
Yo, he's injured again.
Yo, Greg Oden looks like Morgan Freeman's grandpa. There's no way you can tell me that young man is not 86, yo. I think that Greg Oden has said, Greg Oden and LeBron James, father-son duo, in the league at the same time.
War Room listeners and listeners at large, you heard it here first. Greg Oden is the glass man. That's my word. Martell Webster, I think that, I don't know the severity of the injury and whether it's going to linger. I think that he's just hitting his peak in his prime. I like what he brings to the table, 6'7" shooter. He's a little bit more athletic than just a typical stand-in-the-corner shooter. While being pretty accurate from distance, I think that they are going to get a steal at the end of the day. And if they win this little complainer or arbitration, they're really going to get a steal because he's going to come back healthy and they're going to get draft picks as compensation. So, I think it's a smart business move on the side of the
Real quick, Akil, what's your thoughts, real quick?
They said them damaged goods. That's I guess Portland was like, look, man, everybody gets hurt. We're trying to save some money. We'll give him, we'll send him up for some draft picks, and that was that.
All right, well, that's it for the news. We're going to leave it at that. That's what's happening while you guys were on the run.
Word up. All right, so now we're going to pass that rock. Y'all ready to pass that rock? For those who are listening for the very first time, Pass the Rock is a little segment we do when all five of your hosts get to rant on any given sports topic that they would wish to rant upon. So I'm going to bring the ball up. I'm going to play the point guard this evening, and I'm going to bring the ball up and see who I can find on my wing. Now, we have already briefly talked about how the Hall of Fame in each sport drops the ball occasionally on who they induct and who they do not induct. But that's just one of many problems I have with each of the prospective Halls of Fame. The issue I have today is more along the lines of what they induct rather than who they induct. My inspiration for this rant comes on the heels of the NFL record-tying 4-interception performance of Washington Redskins cornerback D'Angelo Hall in a win last Sunday versus Jay, I love to play catch with the other team, Cutler, and the Chicago Bears. Following this spectacular performance from Jay Cutler and his new favorite receiver, the Pro Football Hall of Fame has requested the number 23 jersey of the current and much deserved, might I add, NFC Defensive Player of the Week for display in the hallowed halls of Canton. If he tied an NFL record, then what's your beef, you may ask? Well, I'm glad you all asked. My beef is the fact that D-Hall is the 19th player to accomplish this feat. Secondly, and even more ironic, is that he isn't even the first Redskin to do this. He's the third. So due to the growing numbers of this quote-unquote impossible feat, I would assume that the Hall of Fame has been forced to build a separate suite for the ever-growing members of the Four Interception Club. This reminds me of the fact that Jumaine Jones, who you ask? Exactly. has a jersey and a pair of sneakers in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame for scoring the last bucket of the millennium, or was it the first bucket of the new millennium? Either way, who cares? Gives a Jumaine Jones anyway. Bottom line, this silly hoarding of every athlete's uniform who's ever done something lucky in a game is getting way out of hand. Maybe next they'll create a room for players with the most false starts in the game. That would finally make Jason Peters' jersey worth the thread it was stitched with. Here's a question for the Hall. What happens when someone gets 5 interceptions? Do they return all the jerseys to the living members of the four club and start over? I wonder if they've even thought that far ahead. Well, my advice to them is, until Jay Cutler, Brett Favre, and Jake Delhomme retires, they better have a plan. So with that, I'm going to set it up at the top of the key with Brad and Akil setting those high post screens. I'm going to take it to the left and use that pick from Akil and hit I'm going to hit Akil on the pick and roll. Akil, do your thing.
Yes, sir. And that play was Eagle, by the way. Man, it's funny. I was telling somebody that Jay Cutler just got D'Angelo Hall into the Pro Bowl this year with those 4 interceptions, so he should thank him. Now, as I delve into my topic today, the person I'll be talking about would have had a better and longer NBA career, in my opinion, if he just passed the rock more. The person we'll be talking about is former NBA star Allen Iverson, who recently signed a 2-year, $4 million deal to play basketball in Turkey. Now, don't get me wrong. Allen Iverson is one of the best players to ever play in the NBA, even voted number 29 all-time by ESPN writer Bill Simmons in the Book of Basketball. Through 14 years, he averaged 34 points, four-time scoring champ, three-time steals champ, and two-time turnover leader. His 3-year peak was 31 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, and led the Sixers to the NBA Finals in 2001. For his career, he's averaged 6 assists, 4 rebounds, and 2 steals, which are all great numbers. Now, from HoopsHype.com, as they do a scouting report for every player, it states, the shortest MVP in NBA history, was the best scorer in the league, very quick, outstanding ball handling skills, killer crossover, was one of the best players in the NBA one-on-one. The shooting percentages are poor, but went to the free throw line more often than almost any other player. Quick hands, plays with heart, a shoot-first, shoot-second type of guard. There are questions about his ability to play in a spread-around offense and doesn't make teammates better. Now, my issues with Mr. Iverson lies in the last couple of quotes. Now, we can check out the rest of this out in my blog, and I'll just summarize. I have 2 topics, well, 5 topics, intensity, practice, shooting percentage versus lesser-talented players and coaches. Now, to sum it up, Allen Iverson was one of the most intense basketball players ever, comparable to Michael Jordan. Now, practice, he doesn't really like practice. As we know, his rant about practice years ago, where he said, you know, show. But could you imagine MJ, Kobe, Dwayne Wade, Kevin Garnett, Magic, those guys talking about practice in that way? Shooting percentage. He had a low year of 38% shooting, a high year of 45% shooting. From the free throw line, 78%. On threes, he shot 31%. Now, versus lesser talented players, basically when he was traded for Andre Miller and Chauncey Billups, those teams did just as good, if not better. And in my mind, Allen Iverson's way better than those guys. Now, we all know his things with coaches. He loves Larry Brown, but Larry Brown's ready to trade him due to his lack of leadership on and off the court. But when AI decided to be a better leader and better teammate and attend practice, he took one of the worst teams in NBA history, talent-wise, to the finals. But Larry Brown built that team solely around Iverson. And to sum it up, I had a couple of options. Option one, I think he should have spent time as a full-time point guard, averaging 25 points and 13 assists, raising his field goal percentages and lowering his turnovers. And option two, he could have been a full-time shooting guard, but shooting a higher percentage and lower turnovers and higher three-pointers if he just would have practiced and worked in his game more. And now I'm going to take the ball, and I'm going to, instead of going up for the layup, I'm going to kick it back to the foul line area to Mr. James Williams.
We're talking about practice, not a
Chill. It's interesting that you talk about that because I know Brother B. Austin also wants to talk about AI, and you guys have been having this AI debate for years now.
You know he's steaming.
I know he's steaming right now, but he'll get his chance. He'll get his chance. AI is a very polarizing figure, and everybody has an opinion on AI. But what I want to talk about some dying sports. This past weekend, I watched a Brock Lesnar and Cain Velasquez MMA match for the UFC heavyweight title, and something occurred to me. I haven't been this excited to watch a boxing match in years. Then when I thought more about it, I realized there's only one fight that I want to see. And we all know what fight that is. The problem is, if Floyd and Pac-Man fight, what's after that? Ladies and gentlemen, boxing is dead. MMA, in my opinion, is a better combat sport and will continue to dominate unless boxing makes many changes to its business model. First off, I don't know the accurate number, but it's like 376 different title belts in boxing. What part of the game is that? I guarantee there is no one listening to us live or listening on a podcast that will be able to tell me all the different champions in each weight class. I don't care if I give you 2 days with Google, Wikipedia, Ask Jeeves, Yahoo, Dogpile, or Don King himself at your side. My co-host Dev and I have had debates sometimes in restaurants and public where people think we've lost our minds for yelling when we debate about what sport takes more skill. He is of the opinion that boxing does, and I disagree, but we can save that debate for another show. In the war room, I am the MMA junkie, and I will one day convert all my co-hosts, but honestly, I may not have to. Boxing has been killing itself for years. I have talked to several people who have been unwilling to say that boxing is dead just because they grew up watching it, and because it has been around for so long. The problem is, gone are the days of Ali, Frazier, Foreman, Tyson, and any other popular dominant boxer who can carry the sport. The funny thing is, the only Tyson that's popular now is 50 Tyson.
Yeah, you might see me all blue, all red, every day, every day. I'm 50 Tyson.
Yeah, that's the only popular Tyson now. Here's the thing. MMA is looked at as a niche sport that will never become mainstream. That's okay, because basketball was once looked at in the same light. Basketball is my favorite sport by far, and if I never gave it a chance because it wasn't around long enough or because I grew up watching baseball, that would have been an unpardonable act on my behalf. Sports must evolve with the time, and boxing has not done so. Baseball had an 87-year head start over football and basketball, but now is losing to both because it has refused to change with the times. The game they play now has not changed much since the 1800s, and that's why it's losing. Put it like this. The World Series is going on, and I'd rather watch reruns of a Different Strokes episode with a bicycle shop owner trying to take advantage of Dudley and Arnold than to watch the World Series. Boxing is the same way. The next big fight on HBO is Zab Judah and Lucas Matisse. How many of you guys have watched that? Listen, I'd rather watch the reruns of Good Times when JJ joined the Satan's Night game than to watch that boxing match. The bottom line is, sports have evolved, and sometimes as fans, we must also evolve. Before we become like the 85-year-old men that I see at Phillies games who keep scoring the scorecard and keep asking me, hey, son, was that a 4-6-3 double play? And I turn around and tell them, FOH, yo, I'm nice, and I'm done. And with that, we're running play 51. I'm looking for my man PJ. PJ, I'm passing the rock to you, sir.
Yo, I'm just trying to keep my composure from laughing at all your comparisons, because that's hilarious, man. You're right. Boxing is a dying breed, man. It's sliding down a razor blade into a pool of alcohol. But this week, I just want to talk a little bit about Ryan Howard and his playoff inconsistency. And I want to preface it by saying Ryan Howard is one of my favorite players in the major leagues, partly because he's a Philly and also because I think he's definitely a good player, a good hitter. But here I go. After losing to Game 6 of the NLCS to the Giants, it's pretty safe to say that 2010 was possibly Ryan Howard's worst season as a Philly. And the postseason can support that theory. Often considered one of baseball's best players,
Ryan Howard has established a reputation for himself in Philly as one of the most frustrating players to deal with, considering the way he performed against the Reds and the Giants in this year's postseason. Not only did he end the 2010 season without a home run in his last 57 plate appearances, but he struck out 12 times and failed to even manufacture one RBI in the series against the Giants, which is egregious for a former MVP. Unfortunately, this performance is similar to Howard's 2009 World Series performance against the Yankees. Around this time last year, Ryan Howard woefully set a record for the most strikeouts in a World Series with 13. What's frustrating is that outside of his 12 strikeouts, Howard's numbers this postseason were somewhat decent. I mean, he went 8 for 28, including 3 doubles, and forced 5 walks. But that's not the Ryan Howard that Philadelphia has grown accustomed to. The Howard we know is the one who's hit 198 home runs and drove in 572 runs from 2006 to 2009. Unfortunately, that Ryan Howard is also the same guy who became the second quickest player in MLB history to reach 1,000 strikeouts. He may have established a reputation as one of the most powerful home run hitters over the last couple of years, but Ryan may be remembered by some as Ryan, quote-unquote, what the heck is he swinging at, Howard. When people look back and think about Ryan Howard during the 2010 season, they'll remember how he missed the opportunity to tie up Game 6 by watching a perfectly hittable pitch sail across the plate during a 3-2 count with runners on first and second. Can someone please tell me how on earth a kit did Ryan Howard neglect to even swing at the final pitch? The entire Phillies offense has struggled mightily this year. But come on, Ryan, you're being paid way too much money to merely whiff at the ball with the season on the line. And with that, I throw a no-look behind-the-back oop to B, Hot Block Commander Austin.
Ladies and gentlemen, listeners of the War Room, it is with sadness that I come to you with the demise and martyrdom of one Mr. Allen Iverson's career. My brother, esteemed brother, Akil Bayon, has laid out the stats for you. You've seen what he's accomplished with your own eyes. Four-time NBA scoring champion, three-time All-NBA first team, three-time All-NBA second team, All-NBA third team in 06, NBA All-Rookie first team, two-time NBA All-Star Game MVP, and 12-time All-Star. For me, the bottom line with a basketball game is winning, and there's no metric to gauge winning better than points. And there's only four men that have ever walked the earth out of 7 to 9 billion human beings that have scored the ball better in the NBA than Allen Iverson. My question to you is, why can't this man at 35, in pretty good physical condition, get a job in the NBA? Jerry Stackhouse can get a run. Why can't Allen Iverson? Royal Ivy can get a run. Booby Gibson can get a run. Daquan Cook can get a run. Chris Duhon can get a run. Eddie House can get a run. Cartier Martin can get a run. Lester Hudson can get a run. Leon Poe can get a run. There's a dude named Smush that started in the NBA, and Allen Iverson can't get a run?
Yeah, dude.
Deshaun Stevenson can be considered a serviceable option, and AI can't get a run? Delonte West can go to a mental ward, pop off LeBron's mom, become LeBron's stepdad, and AI can't get a run? Samuel Dallenberg can get $70 million, and AI can't get a run? Ira Noble is doing something other than Burger King for a living, and AI can't get a run.
Yes, dude.
Jared Jeffries was a lottery pick, and AI can't get a run? Kevin Ollie was allowed to be born and further involve himself in my beloved sport of basketball, and Allen Iverson can't get a run? There's a professional basketball team located in Memphis, Tennessee, and AI can't get a run? Adam Morrison has two rings as a spectator and now has no job, and AI can't get a run.
Tyrone Hill is allowed to look the way he does in public, and AI can't get a run. Hasheem Thabeet was allowed to be the second pick in the National Basketball Association's draft, and AI can't get a run. Mike Conley is a starting point guard, and AI can't get a run. Anthony Carter is in the league. Shout out to him. And he can't get a run? My man AI? Are you serious? LeBron Ramon James can quit in an NBA Eastern Conference Finals and then come on national TV and hog up our time and attention from what we're doing, and AI can't get a run. Vince Carter can still be a starter in the league as the biggest defensive liability of his time and generation, and AI can't get a run. Chucky Atkins can get a roster spot, and my man AI can't get a run. Birdman can wear his pants below his butt and get on stage with Lil Wayne at 41 years old, and my man AI can't get a run. Sam Cassell can have his face on camera, and AI can't get a run. Brett Favre can come back for $16 million and lead the Vikings to oblivion with picks, and AI can't get a run. Joe and his twin Andre Johnson can sign big contracts for too much money, and my man AI can't get a run? Floyd Funny Mayweather can duck Pac-Man, but my man AI can't get a run? J.J. Redick can sign for $30 million, and AI can't get a run? Josh Childress can have the same afro from coming out of his mother's womb till now, and AI can't get a run? Joel, I'm not good enough to be related to Carmelo Anthony can start in the NBA, and my man AI can't get a run. Jamal McGlure can make an all-star team, and my man AI can't get a run. The WNBA can still exist and be around, and my man AI can't get a run. Young Cheesy, Waka Flocka Flames, Gucci Man, OJ the Jew Man, Soulja Boy, and Pimp C can call themselves rappers, press up albums, and have them sold. The public buys them, and my man AI can't get a run. Shaquille O'Neal, a.k.a. the Big Twism, who's 7 foot 29 inches tall and 3 million pounds, a.k.a. Mr. Miss Many, 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 Many Layups, at point-blank range, can start, and my man AI can't get a run. Man, I'm done, yo.
Yo, that's a and the crowd goes wild. Yeah. All right, real quick, I'm going to let y'all know how y'all can get in touch with us, man, if I can stop from laughing. Check out our website at warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company or our show. Or if you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are on that page. Become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. Subscribe to and become a fan of our new YouTube channel at youtube.com/warroomsports. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, you need to sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't feel like doing that, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter account. While you're at it, click on Favorites to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and get updates about the show. Speaking of blogs, check out ours on the blog tab of our website. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with us, dial 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand. We'll probably notice you. We'll probably get you on the show. That's all I got. This dude is crazy.
Jimmy. Yo, why my man can't get a run?
Yeah, I'll feel you. Though. I'll feel you on that.
So I'm in tears over here, yo. Like, all right, yeah. Let's jump right into some NBA talk. Akil, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, before we even jump into the game that started so far, I wanted to get your picks for, you know, what's going on this season because you was on a flight last week. So let me ask you some questions. You can just tell me who your picks are. Who's your pick for Rookie of the Year?
For Rookie of the Year, to be honest, I was going to say John Wall until I heard the Hot Block Commander mention the guy in the Clippers. I just had a brain fart just now. Oh,
Blake Griffin.
All right, Blake Griffin.
I want to make one comment about Blake Griffin real quick. No disrespect to Darren Williams and Jason Kidd and Carlos Boozer, but Blake Griffin is now the best mulatto American basketball player in the world. I kill. Who you have as MVP?
For MVP, it came down to Wade, Durant, LeBron, and DeJuan Howard, and I'm going to go with Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Did you say DeJuan Howard or Dwight Howard?
I meant to say Dwight Howard. My bad.
That's his 2K11 made-up player. Listen, the conference championships on both sides, who do you have playing in the conference championships, East and West?
All right, in the West, I have Oklahoma City playing the Los Angeles Lakers. And in the East, I have the Boston Celtics playing the Orlando Magic.
Okay. Now, who do you have in the finals?
In the finals, I have the Lakers playing the Boston Celtics with the Lakers winning. Now, this is why I have the Lakers winning. Phil, he wins his championships in threes. He won three in Chicago, took a break, then won three more in Chicago, took a long break, then won three with the Lakers, took a break, then
took
he
a
won
winning
two
break.
So far. Exactly, took a break. Now he just won two more, so it's due for him to win this third one and retire. So that's what I'm going
with.
You basically like the dude off CBS, you're basing it on numbers.
A kill.
Yes, sir.
The boy AI, we're number three, man. You can't get on.
That's true. All right, let's get into some more basketball talk. You know, opening night happened the other night. The Heat and Celtics got it in, Paul. And the Celtics took the W. What's your guys' thoughts on the Heat losing their first game after all the hype? Let's go around. Dev, what's your thoughts?
Yo, for all the hype, that game was whack. You know, but I'm a basketball purist, so I do understand, you know, that people have to get their chemistry together. However, you know, the way people, the bandwagon fans and the media, the way they jumped on this team, it really seemed like all they had to do against any opponent this season was show up. If y'all can remember last week, I spoke on the what I thought might be chemistry problems between LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. And in my opinion, they showed. They didn't run a single set. It was just like, take turns going one-on-one. It's like three possessions we're going to try to get LeBron off. Next three we're going to try to get Wade off. The next three we're going to get Bosh some shots. I didn't see any sets run whatsoever. I mean, they're going to struggle against the better teams. Like teams like last night, the Sixers, you know, they can handle teams like that. But against the Celtics, the Magic, and the Lakers of the world, you're going to struggle.
Yeah. Okay, B. Austin, what's your thoughts on the Heat start this season?
From what I saw from the Heat, I mean, yo, AI can't get a run, yo.
Yeah,
wouldn't even shoot, yo.
Yo, what I noticed, first and foremost, let's go with Boston since, you know, they won the game. My only question or concern with Boston is at their age, can they maintain that high energy level through the grind that is an 82-game season plus playoffs? Because at this juncture, KG is everybody's dad over, like, 6'10". You know, and it was funny because Bosh could still get off a little bit, but when KG just wanted to be like, listen, man, I'm your pop, then he was just his pop, and he did him dirty. Ray Allen looks sharp. Paul Pierce looks like he could turn it on as he usually does in the last 8 minutes of a game. He's just a killer of the order of Kobe with less athleticism. He's a killer. Big Baby Davis off the bench is nice.
That's my second favorite player in the league.
Yo, as a fellow fat guy, yo, shout out to him, man.
Shout out to Big Baby from the war room.
Big Baby gets it in. You know what I'm saying? And his nickname is Weak, so he needs to change that. they're deep, pause. They're deep. Like, they are straight. You know what I'm saying? Like, Rondo is balling. And people don't give him enough credit for being that intelligent point guard that he is. He's really smart, and he has great vision. He runs that offense beautifully. To the Heat, I saw the same thing you saw, Dev. I mean, you called me to tell me the game was on. I was wrapped up with the kids. I turned it on. I watched it for 2.5 quarters, and they look sloppy. They didn't even look like an NBA team to me. Like, they're relying solely on athleticism.
I mean, I think question 70% their bench. Of the league, though. 70% of the league, I think they can just show up and beat them. But,
yeah, that's
30%. That's a large number.
Yeah, let's move on. Hey, PJ, what's your thoughts on the start so far with the Heat?
I mean, Brad and Dad pretty much summed it up. I mean, the Boston looked like typical Boston. They look good. Their front court is going to be deep, especially when Kendrick Perkins comes back. I think
they're pretty in the league.
Yeah, but I'm saying their biggest opponent will be Father Time to see how healthy they can become, you know, late April, May, and
I'm better than
June.
Shaq.
Yeah.
Yo, I know one thing.
So, I mean,
in
terms of the Heat, that's, you know, we all saw the same thing. They just didn't look like they didn't look like a team. They looked like five dudes that came to the court to play a pickup game at the playground.
And
were just trying
thing,
to go one-on-one. No real team, like, there was no, like... Yeah, no chemistry. There were no, like that said, there were no plays run. It was essentially come down and try to, you know, just ISO and for yours.
They
yo,
tried to
you,
use
yo,
the excuse that Dwayne Wade had played.
Yo, here's a crazy stat for you. I was reading today. It said that because the Heat had to sign so many, like, veteran players, the Heat are actually the oldest team in the NBA. They're actually older than the Celtics.
Because they got behind Jerry Stackhouse the other day. He likes 50-year-old R&B singers.
50-year-old chip chasers like Stackhouse, Juwan Howard, you know, cats like that.
Vinny Hardaway wanted to come back.
Yeah, he tried to
come back. Come on, man. He's bringing anybody back out. Karl Malone said he was thinking about it.
They really think that you could put anybody with these dudes and
then
dominate.
That's crazy, but I tell you one thing they don't have is a low post presence. Now, I don't know how much that will affect them, but they got people down there from
17-8.
Honestly.
LeBron in the low post is disgusting.
Yeah, if he's not going to do that size, pause, has no back-to-the-basket game whatsoever.
Ever.
I don't even, and it's funny because there were a couple of times that I saw the Sixers, he was like, entertaining the idea of posting up, and the Sixers would double down, and he would just kick back out. But I'm like, I don't even know why y'all doubling, because they ain't going to do nothing. His footwork game is awful.
Yeah, he doesn't really have footwork. So what he does in the post is when he gets somebody smaller, he just tries to bowl them over, which makes him off balance, and he always shoots up a bad shot. But, I mean, he can go work with Olajuwon like Kobe and Dwight Howard did. And, yo, LeBron with a post game, yo, it wouldn't even be fair.
Yo, let me get Kill's thoughts. Hold on. Let's get Kill's thoughts. Everybody wait. Let's get what Kill got to say. What's your thoughts on the Heat start and everything?
When I watched that game, it was funny. It reminded me of one of those old Heat games, like 75 to 68.
That Pat Riley days.
Exactly. And when I saw the game, I remember in the second half, for like 10 minutes, I forgot Chris Bosh was on the team. No lie, I'm sitting here like, oh, yeah, that's right. They have Bosh. Where is he? And it looks like they weren't calling any plays. They didn't really have any chemistry. So that's why in my picks, I'm losing in the second of playoffs to the Celtics or the Magic. So, I mean, I think they can eventually win a championship, maybe in year two or three. But right now, they don't have enough pieces to go along with their big three for 82-game season in playoffs.
Right.
Yo, is it me, or does Chris Bosh look like a transsexual?
With the track athlete from over in Africa, she was a hermaphrodite.
Yeah, that's right.
He might be rocking a two-piece down there.
real quick, though, what do y'all think about David Stern talking about contraction? I know what Dan feels, but...
Austin,
how do you feel about the NBA talking about contracting teams?
I mean, the players the upper echelon, mid-level to upper echelon, they're not going to care. I mean, it's going to keep their salaries the same, but funny enough, it's going to be less jobs. And I actually think that there's a way, if they're thinking strategically like I am, I'm thinking it's a power play to open up his move to take over FIBA, because I think that's where the NBA is going, either a partnership or a takeover of FIBA. As far as contraction, I mean, the owners are saying, I just heard today the president of the Owners Association, the guy that owns the Timberwolves, was like, ain't nobody with that. Yeah, ain't nobody with that. They're not even considering.
They're not with it. They want to make the little bit of money that they're making. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of different ways.
As a fan, of course, you know, like the skill level in the league is just bad right now.
Yeah, it's top heavy.
Yeah, it's top heavy, but then you got a bunch of people, like half the list that you named in your PTR. Like, why are some of these people in the league? Because there are too many teams.
Yeah, you know, it's in my opinion, there's a lot of different ways to look at it from an owner's perspective, from a player's perspective, and from a fan perspective. But since we are all fans, from a fan's perspective, it'll make the product better. But I understand what's going to be the hurdle. The hurdle is if you get rid of some teams, there's less jobs out there, and there's less owners with the ability to make money. Kill, what do you think about this?
Contraction, I'm against it only because from the jobs perspective, like I understand Toronto, they don't sell out Timberwolves, they don't sell out Memphis, they don't sell
Yo,
out.
Yo, they got to go. Toronto got to go.
Because I think if you contract, you see less jobs, and those guys have to go overseas. And I guess as a kind of like as a coach, I guess I'm kind of biased as a former basketball or trainer and coach, and having a get one of those 60 jobs that are cut.
PJ,
what's your
I agree with Kill in the sense that I never want to see anybody put out of work or lose their job. But like the point was already made, I think that's going to make the overall product better. And I can only speak to it as a fan because that's all I am. So as a fan, I probably would like to see that because it's like Dev said, it's too much garbage in the league. It's too many dudes that are not quality professional basketball players that are really getting a run, making a lot of money, and just like, you know, just garbage. Cut it down, be a better product.
I kind of disagree with the notion that owners, if the league contracted, would find it harder to make money because if there are less teams, there'd be more talent spread around the teams that are left, and ticket sales would probably go up.
Yeah, but you
up
have some owners who are just not in the mix, though.
You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, it really needs to
you know
be affected.
I mean?
And it stems back to what Jimmy said. You do look at it from different perspectives because we all think from a human perspective, we don't want to see people losing their jobs. But from a fan's perspective, the skill level is terrible, and you say, go ahead and do it. You know, from an owner's perspective, you don't want to do it because you don't want your team contracted. So it's a difficult argument.
Yeah, but I'm like, the thing about it is, like, there'll be a better product, but, you know, there'll be less owners able to participate, though. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but them
so
jokers got rich before find another way to make
money.
Yeah,
I mean, that's true. That's true. They'll find another way to make money. But anyway, I want to talk about another thing. You know, considering I'm a Lakers fan, did you guys see the Lakers get their rings and how hilarious it was for two things? When they skipped the one coach, and also when Ryan Artest didn't know where the banner was falling from.
Yo.
Hey, Dad, did you see that?
Yo, first of all, I think they gave Ryan Artest the mic, not on the introductions, but to introduce the banner coming down. I think that was on the fly because he was looking like he had no idea what they were talking about.
That was hilarious.
The rings are kind of sick. Like, let me read this to you real quick. Each ring is adorned with a piece of the actual ball used in Game 7 of the 2010 NBA Finals. The two Larry O'Brien trophies representing the back-to-back titles are made from custom batches of 16-karat gold. It has 16 oversized, round, brilliant white diamonds, indicative of the 16 championships the franchise has won. Each player is immortalized with a three-dimensional sculpture of their face on their respective rings. And the final score, 83-79, of the Game 7 victory over the Celtics is represented on the side of the ring in scoreboard fashion. I'm looking at the picture of this right now on my monitor, and these rings are crazy.
Yeah, that was definitely crazy.
Yeah, but to see that coach get skipped, yo, I kind of felt bad for dude, man, because he seemed proud that he was next.
They went right to Kareem.
He was ready to get his name called. I don't even know who it was. He was a little dude. I don't think he was an ex-player or anything.
He started straightening and fixing up his pocket square, and they went right past
him. He he puffed his chest out, was ready to hear his name called. It's probably his first ring. And they were like, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yo, what's funny to me about that is, yo, Gary Vee, who's their trainer, yo, dude has been there longer than anybody. Gary Vee was getting a ring back when, like, Kareem and Magic got a ring. Like, he was in
Gary
the same
Vitti
line back
got,
then.
He probably got all 16.
Yo, Gary Vee got more rings than Barkley.
Adam Morrison got more rings than Barkley.
And AI can't get a run. Anyway. You know, I was gonna ask you guys about Allen Iverson signing with the Turkish team, but there's no sense in even talking about that. So one more thing I want to talk about hoops before we go into football. I want to know what you guys think about the LeBron commercial. I'm gonna start with you, PJ.
LeBron, man. Just when you try to get past the whole situation, the whole decision thing, and see what they're gonna do, LeBron collaborates with Nike to put out the commercial. I mean, I get where he's coming at with the whole, yeah, it's my decision, you know, these are my friends, should I not listen to them? They took shots at Barkley, he took shots at Barkley, took shots at the MJ Hall of Fame joint. I mean, it's just like LeBron. Honestly, I don't know that I have a position on that joint. Like, it didn't really affect me. In other words, I didn't really, like, not that anybody's emotional, but it didn't strike me. Like, I was more upset with the decision that happened in, July? Than with the commercial, because it was just, to me, like a follow-up of all the nonsense, and now he's trying to get back at people and trying to say, I'm going to do me, and I'm not listening to everybody. So, I mean, it didn't really move me much. What y'all think? Because I just saw it was just, like, interesting. I mean, it was nice.
Well, Dad, what's your opinion? Let's go to Dad. What's your opinion?
Nike is God.
I thought that the commercial was hot. You know, usually Nike's commercials are, but... You know, this is a commercial that you have to make an interpretation for yourself. You got to kind of dig a little deeper into it. And I kind of thought that going at people, whether it was in jest or not, I think it was kind of unnecessary. Because like y'all were saying a minute ago, like you thought the whole situation was over. We can get into basketball, it's time to play ball, but then they come out with this. Coming at ex-Nike players, you know, Charles Barkley, that was a little funny, but... It's unnecessary because he's probably not going to do that in Charles's face. The Michael Jordan reference, there's a debate going on. Like, many people thought that he was going at Jordan with the Hall of Fame part of the commercial, the speech, and should I sell shoes?
Yeah.
That, I don't really understand how Nike would even allow that to go down, considering Michael Jordan, you know, is just as responsible for Nike as Nike is responsible for Michael Jordan. So I don't see how, you know, they can let something like that fly on a commercial. But I digress. The commercial's out. He did it.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick, B. Austin, what's your thoughts on the commercial?
I think to buttress your point, Dev, Nike is essentially living in the moment and leveraging the fact that MJ, or the hoop earring dude, as Jimmy calls him, Fed, is getting so much money with them, it ain't going to affect the relationship.
He probably was on the phone with somebody. Like, yo, cuz.
Yeah. His feelings got singed, but when he see the check hit the account, he chilling. I think that Nike is Zod, Neil before Nike, all other shoe and apparel companies. Their marketing and advertising is like, yo, that commercial was genius. That commercial was pure, utter genius. And though I'm not a LeBron stan, a Ramon stan, I came away from that commercial like, yo, it was hot. So I was like, yo, I appreciated the thought that went behind it, the concept and the artistry. So that was kind of my thing. It's not going to move me to run out and buy a pair of Nikes, but I feel like it's coming.
Real quick,
let's hear what
the professor got to say. Professor Binion, real quick.
One second, Jim, before you get a kill. If anybody wants to call in and talk about any of these NBA topics, you can hit us at 323
323-410-0012. Again, that's 323-410-0012, and press 1. If you're already on the line, just press 1, and we'll try to get you.
I want to get Kill Thoughts. Let's get Kill Thoughts real quick, and then we can take this call. Kill, what's your thoughts?
Now, real quick, I think the commercial was hot, like being able for Nike to tie everything in the moment and make money. But in terms of LeBron so far and everything, all I have to say is...
Wow. Well, real quick, I'm going to take this call. Before I say, my only thing with that whole situation is, I thought the commercial was hot. But my thing is, just play ball. If you play ball, all this hate he's been getting will go away. Just go do what you got to do on the court, and, you know, everything will take care of itself. But let me take this call. Caller, you're in the war room, 570-762. What's your name and where you calling from?
This is Jay from Jersey.
What's up, Jay? What's good, baby?
Jimmy, I'm still waiting for them Kareem stats, baby. I'm still waiting for them Kareem stats.
I got you.
Let's talk about AI, man. Right now, I'm gonna defend B right here. AI is crazy sick still. He should be in the league. He should be starting. But you know what I mean? Right now, the player's a dude. He ain't getting no run because he a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He out there chasing hoops. He out there chasing hoes. Beat down his baby mama. He want to take a vacation. You feel me? Like, they don't even want to mess with the kid no more. You know what I mean? But I got mad love for AI. AI crossed over with my man MJ. Did him dirty. They banned over the crossover. So, you know. You know what I mean?
They did ban the crossover after he smacked MJ.
Yeah. So, right now, I feel like, you know what I'm saying, the dude is still nasty. The dude played hurt. The dude was putting up numbers like he was 6'10". The dude is nasty. You know what I'm saying? But
Let me ask you a question, Jay. What's your thoughts on Miami and LeBron
enough? Well, I'm going to be real with you. I said it from the door. Miami ain't going to win. They ain't going to win the championship. They ain't. I don't even think that they'll ever win a championship. Why? Like I was saying when I was listening to y'all talk. They're having right now a pickup game session. They go, you know, all right, this is what we're going to do right now. Wade, you're going to run. You're going to bring down three. You're going to try three attempts to score. You don't score? We got to go to LeBron. And if LeBron, you ain't going to score, then it's just dumping to Chris Bosh. If you don't score, give it to Arroyo. Give it to one of these old cats to probably get some fame now, older in the days. You know what I mean? Like, they're picking up everybody because all these cats that are chasing the ring, they're jumping the bandwagon thinking that's going to be instantaneous. And it's not.
So you sound excited about basketball season. You just like us. You love basketball season, huh?
Tell them I'm a basketball dude, man. I mean, I used to get up at 5 a.m. to go work out and play ball in the morning, man.
We look forward to hearing from you all season, though, because we're going to be talking hoops for the rest of this season, man. So thanks for the call.
I'm enjoying calling. I'm enjoying listening because y'all be on the money. But, like, I'm still waiting on them Kareem stats. Look, Kareem should get back on the court.
I'm going to send it to you.
Kareem need to come back to the Heat. Kareem need to come back to the Heat, dog. He need to get on the Heat. You know what I mean?
He's probably better than Shaq.
Yo.
You ain't lying. I think he is.
Yo, at 50 years old, he's better than the boy Anthony.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, man. He better. Yo, right now, like y'all was saying, the league got so watered down right now. I'm going to be honest with you. Is that the point where college basketball, to me, got more heart, more grit than NBA? But right now, all these cats got so cosmetic with it that I'm surprised that they ain't got the WNBA ball to talk about we got next, nigga. We playing again. Let the Liberty play the Knicks right now. That'd be a run for the money right
crazy,
now.
Man.
The Liberty against the
Knicks. All right, Jay. Jay, we got to move on. We look forward to you next week talking more hoops, Jay. Thanks for the call. Jay, you got
to be easy, y'all.
All right,
yo.
Shout out, Jay.
Jay was excited about that.
He's in the hoop head, man. You know, we got a hoop head. Basically, we won't talk any more basketball. That was my thoughts on the whole commercial. Like, my whole thing is just play ball and everything will be good. But let's move on from basketball because we still had NFL this week. We all forgot about football.
let's go ahead and I know football season is still going on, people. Let's talk about some stuff that happened during this week. I already addressed the Cutler, D'Angelo, Hall situation. Anybody got any thoughts on either one of those guys, Cutler or Hall, and how Cutler just put D'Angelo Hall in the Pro Bowl?
Cutler was a crumb. He does not deserve to start in the NFL. He's horrible.
Hey, Deb, I told you years ago about Cutler. I said, yo, the boy's a turnover machine. He's the young Brett Favre.
It's almost as that he doesn't, like, he's an idiot, though. Like, seriously, not, you know, trying to. But he might have a mental issue or problem. Because it's almost as if he, I mean, he's having issues deciphering things that that he sees on the defense that, you know, it's little kids in Pop Warner that can figure those things out. Like, he doesn't read coverage as well. It's like he throws when he gets.
You think he kind of slow?
Yeah, you might see me all blue, all red, every day. I'm 50 Tyson.
Yo, I heard Greg Cosell from NFL Films today. He wasn't really giving the dude an excuse because he was still talking about how bad his level of play has been. But he said the Bears' offense isn't really suited for Cutler. That's his opinion. And he's like, they have a quarterback that can make all of the necessary throws, but, you know, the offense kind of holds him back. So I guess he's trying to say because of that, he tries to force things that he shouldn't force. But, you know, production, it speaks louder than Greg Cosell's opinion. If he keeps playing like that, you're not going to be able to defend the dude. I mean, D'Angelo Hall is not a good cover corner. I thought he was when he came to the league. He swears he's Deion. But he gets burnt. As a matter of fact, he's been he has the most balls completed on him of any D-back this season.
Yo, he's
so
Deion.
You're not
Warren,
Deion. You're not Deion because that can't happen to Deion because they're not throwing the Deion side. So you need to cut all the Deion acts every time he does anything on the field because you're not Deion, and you should buy Cutler a new car or something because he just sent him to Hawaii.
Exactly.
So,
I mean, he made his mark in the NFL almost just from speed. Like, he was known earlier.
He ran that 4.15 on the track, allegedly. I say allegedly because when he went to the combine, he ran a 4.3. But, yeah, he was –
He
came in on
was that
speed.
Fast, though. When he caught the drone with one hand and he ran down the sideline, I mean,
that
he was out.
Greatest
thing like,
My take on Cutler, looking at Cutler, I'm kind of seeing – I can take bits and pieces from what each of you have said, and I kind of see it. I kind of see it all. Number one, I will say this. Mike Martz's system is not suited – to his skill set and the way that he plays quarterback, but I don't think that gives him an excuse because great players make a system. The system doesn't make them. You could put Peyton Manning in the single wing and he would ball. I just think that the dude, he is forcing the issue, and then there are times when I see him throw picks where he's not under pressure. He's not under duress. He just throws something out there, and it's like even from the TV, I'm looking there, and I'm like, yo, I saw
it
that.
Seems
like, why would you,
it seems like,
why would
Brad,
you
it seems
that?
Like he's under duress from his mental clock, and he gets to a certain time, he's like, I got to let it go. It don't matter.
I can see that. He's getting so much pressure, and he's getting sacked. Their line is terrible. He's getting sacked, so he's like, listen, it's been 3 seconds. Whether or not I'm getting good protection or not, there's somebody behind me coming to take my lunch. So – and let me get rid of this thing. D'Angelo is not a bum. I wouldn't call him a bum. He is talented, but he's a looky-loo. The dude is always biting on everything. Pause. So you can beat him, and people in film sessions see that. They're like, yo, whatever you run underneath, if you can set that route up and then do a double move, he's biting. He's biting. So he's that's his issue.
You can beat him.
Yo, I just want to say one thing. I was downtown today, and I saw on Market Street, Ellis Hobbs was chasing Kenny Britt, and he still didn't catch him yet.
Yo, Kenny Britt. Yo, you do realize that he didn't even start that game, right?
Oh, yeah.
He got in
rumbling
some kind of
Thursday, Thursday night. He was in the club rumbling.
Yeah, he beat some dude up in the club, so he didn't even start the game. He came off the bench and gang-raped the Eagles.
Yo, yeah, Ellis Hines is trash.
Yo, they blame, but I've been telling y'all that. I told y'all that when we picked him up.
When we signed him, you told us he was trash. He's trash.
He's like, a zone.
And he's
not
even good in the
corner.
Return game anymore. So what's his why?
What's his value?
Even there, yeah, our secondary just played all bad. I mean, and
they tried to blame Kenny Britt having 7 receptions for 2 million yards on Kevin Cobb.
I'm not even gonna get into that. But Nate Allen, I like him, but he made a few mistakes during that game as well.
Yeah, did you see the one play when speaking of Nate Allen, when Kenny Britt just like he was out. I mean, he was just on a straight fly pattern. And he was coming at Nate Allen, and I guess he had the second level. He was at the second level in the safety position, and he was like backtracking, like just like jogging backwards. And Kenny Britt is in full stride, and he didn't turn his hips to run with him until Kenny Britt had passed him. And at that time, you know, it's pay dirt. But
yeah.
I just think like Nate Allen is good, and I think he has a lot of potential. But I think, like you said, that he made a couple bad reads in that game that kind of got put on blast because Kenny Britt
made
some rookie
mistakes.
My problem with the whole Kenny Britt fiasco in the Eagles game was the fact that they let Kenny Britt get off, so they kept putting the camera on him, and the boy had the biggest, yellowest teeth I've ever seen. It looked like he was drinking butter-flavored Gatorade. I'm like, yo, let somebody else catch the ball. Like, yo, what are you doing? I don't want to see this dude no more.
Yo, the boy was drinking smart
balance. I'll say this, in Nate Allen's defense, having played the position – when your corners are getting toasted, a lot of times as a safety, you get nervous, especially looking at Ellis Hobbs getting toasted. So a lot of times, instead of reading and keeping his depth, pause, dude was probably looking at Ellis Hobbs getting torched on moves and was coming up to try and cover that.
Yeah, he got to do
it. And you know your man planting and driving. So he gets beat too.
At any point in time, I understand you have to cover over their mistakes.
And at the same time, you have to let nobody get behind you. So it's kind of like a no-win situation.
Why would they never put Asante on Kenny Britt? Like, switch sides. In other words, obviously that's not his side, and I understand that. But back in the day,
they're zone corners. They're not man lock up. Like you're thinking Charles Woodson, Asamoah, Del Revis follow the best athlete follows the best receiver. The Eagles run a zone cover scheme similar to Bill Belichick. So the corner on the left is the corner on the left. The corner on the right is the corner on the right. As good as Asante is, he's a great mind guy. He knows the game. He's a film animal. He's in the film room. He knows your tendencies. But if you ask him, like, it's monkeys in the league where you say, yo, monkey, go lock up that receiver. Don't let him catch nothing. It don't matter what they running, you lock him up. Asante's not really a monkey like that. And Ellis Hobbs obviously is.
Asante definitely got paid off the zone. But, yo, did y'all see the Steelers game?
We got a call on the line. We got a call waiting to get on, too.
No, that's a kill.
Okay, he called back. Okay.
2-1. Yeah. Did y'all see the fumble by Big Ben?
Yeah, he fumbled.
Yeah.
Is it just me, or did the Dolphins get cheated?
The Dolphins got cheated.
Yo, for any... anyone in the audience who didn't see the game or don't know the situation, Ben Roethlisberger fumbled at the goal line. The ball went into the end. Well, first of all, they called it a touchdown, but it was challenged. They maintained that he did indeed fumble, so they overturned the call. However, they said they weren't sure of who recovered the ball, so they gave the ball back to the Steelers, and they kicked the game-winning field goal. Yo. Every replay I saw showed it clearly that a Miami Dolphin player picked up the ball. They got
two. Yeah, and the ball came up under the pile with the ball.
Yeah, I don't understand how that rule or lack of a rule came into effect. The dude comes out the pile with the ball, holds the ball up. Every other camera in the stadium got it except for the replay cameras. Really?
The replay officials betting their mortgage payments on that game.
Yo, you know what my problem with that whole situation is? My problem with that is when you start doing some more digging, not saying it means anything, but two of the officials are from Pittsburgh. How did they get to run for Pittsburgh game?
Guess what? If I'm an official and ever the Eagles is playing, I'm always siding with the Eagles until I get fired.
That must have been the same refs that was in that Pittsburgh-Seattle Super Bowl.
Oh, God,
yeah. Go back there. Yeah,
they were killing them that day. But if anybody wants to call in and talk about any of these football topics that we're on now, again, that number is 323-410-0012. Moving on, the Saints. It's getting worse and worse for the Saints. We keep talking about the Saints every week, and we all think, like, it's going to get better, but they just got cracked by the Cleveland Browns. Should they be worried, PJ?
Yes.
Like, that doesn't even sound right, saying, like, at least in the past couple years, the Saints got cracked by the Cleveland Browns. Like, I think that, I don't know, Drew Brees don't look like Drew Brees. I mean, Reggie Bush is coming back. I mean, I hear some, quote-unquote, experts would say, you know, there's a big difference in the offensive structure and the checkdowns and the what's available, what the defense is doing based on Reggie Bush being on the field. And I can dig that, but, I mean, they just don't look like they have it together. I don't know if this is Super Bowl. Is it like the Super Bowl hangover? I mean, I don't know. I'm puzzled, to be honest with you. I can't tell you. But they just don't look right.
Still on Bourbon Street somewhere.
Yeah, they just don't look right, man.
Jimmy,
Kim Kardashian put a hex on the spot.
Oh, yeah.
I think they were bound to lose that game because the Cleveland Browns have beaten the defending Super Bowl champions 3 straight years. How about that trend right there? Look that up. The last 3 years, whoever won a Super Bowl, the Cleveland Browns has beat them. I guess that's like their own. That's like their own Super Bowl.
Their personal.
I think the Saints have been. There's a couple of things going on with them. You know, Dev and I, we had this conversation before, and I discounted Reggie Bush's value. Number one, because I don't like him. Number two, I think he's overrated. And number three, I wanted Kim. But to be honest, he is one of those rare players that because of his skill sets, he has to be accounted for by more than one defender. So when you scheme your defense, he takes two levels of defender out of your scheme because they have to account for and follow him. So he makes a difference. The other difference I'm seeing with them is their line play. Drew Brees isn't really getting the time that he had in last season, so that kind of plays into his success. They run all timing routes. Like, they depend heavily on his accuracy and his ability to fit it in, pause on timing routes. So, you know, I can understand with him getting the pressure that he has, his mental clock is probably off because he's not getting the same protection. But the bigger issue with the Saints is defensively, they're not getting the turnovers, which really equate to stops that they were last year. Last year, they gave the offense so many more shots because they were getting two and three turnovers a game. And in the NFL, if you turn the ball over more than twice, you're not going to win the ball game. It just rarely happens. So they're like last in the league in turnovers. They only have like 9 or 10 turnovers this season so far. At this time last year, they were like double digits, close to 20.
Yeah, so that's a great point. You said that if you have two or more turnovers, that you know you really can't win, which is why Favre is garbage. But anyway, I think that they miss a lot of their players. They've been hit by the injury bug, and a lot of champions do.
Bad on defense.
You know. Yeah,
speaking of
a team
that was supposed to contend, I think at this point, Mike Singletary and his owner was in denial last week. I think Singletary is in denial this week because after yet another loss, they're still talking about the 49ers making the playoffs. I know that division is bad, but anybody here got them in the playoffs after the?
No, they can't beat Arizona. They can't beat Seattle.
And they can't be either one of those teams in their own
field
on the road, so I don't.
Yo,
but I guess you figure with Mike Singletary, man, I guess he got to talk that craziness, even though his players probably know what it is. But I guess he has to keep that sense of optimism. But, yeah, you said it's that
homie,
name.
Right. My homie Raheem Morris said that the Buccaneers were the best team in the NFC, so I'm going to call Raheem Morris. He said stats is for losers, and his team is the best team in the league.
Yeah.
And then you could be tripping because he's
more about coaching than any of us.
Yeah, right, Raheem's stupid. But look, Jimmy, what happened to your boy?
Bottom line is we stink and we suffer from daddy issues. Now, I'm explaining that for you real quick. Brian Dawkins didn't play, and Brian Dawkins is the father of everybody on our team. He's our leader. Without him, we stink. That's just the bottom line. Yo, when they were making bad plays, they were on the field looking to the sidelines at him, like looking for him to come help. And he wasn't there to help. We stink. Yo, we got daddy issues, but we stink nonetheless anyway. Like, we're rebuilding now. I never expected that to happen in Oakland. I hate Oakland worse than anything ever.
Anything ever in life.
Yeah,
but y'all
Dawkins is the second greatest safety to play the position.
Nah.
Who's
but
first?
Like,
Ronnie Lott.
You got Ed Reed first, right, Brad?
Ronnie Lott.
Oh, Ronnie Lott. Right.
Ed Reed got a lot of luck in his game, but he nice. He's not
Ed
the biggest
hitter.
He's better
than Palomalo.
I was about to say, what about my Samoan homie?
He right behind Ed. Ed came back with half speed and got two picks.
I used to slight Palomalo a little bit. Like 3-4 years ago, I used to say dude was overrated, but.
Nah, he's nice.
Dude is the Pittsburgh Steelers' best player. I've come to that conclusion.
I agree.
Just like Brad was about Kevin Durant. Had to throw that out there.
But AI can't get a run, though. If Ed Reed wasn't in the league, Troy Polamalu would probably be the best safety currently. I don't consider Dawk in that list anymore because of his age, but I do consider him the second best safety on the all-time list.
What about Bob Sanders currently? Where do you put him?
I put him on the couch with us.
Shout out to
Howard University. He's not better than Antoine.
Well, we wouldn't know. He's never on the field. When he's on the field, he's a beast, but that's only for 3 games a season.
Yeah, my problem with Bob is he's a straight line player, and Antoine can actually cover. He can play corner with his hip. Yo, Bob is going to blow you up, pause.
Yo.
But when, in coverage, I've never seen him do anything that impressive.
Bob Sanders got hurt on my Madden season. But look, yo, we know that the Cowboys took another L, and they took an even bigger L with Romo getting hurt. Really, you know, no disrespect to your squad kill, but it's really not much to, especially since we're a little behind. It's really not much to say about that. They 1-5 already, and now that Romo's gone, it's pretty much a wrap.
They're going to be better without Romo, and it's not Romo's fault. I'm going to tell y'all why, if you want to hear it.
Coaching.
Like
not
the
really,
head coach.
You want to tell us.
They're gonna run the ball.
True. But all they run is draw plays every 2 plays.
Yeah, they're gonna run the ball now with
Garrett is he's an overrated. Remember
3
years ago? Overrated. He was the hottest thing going on in football 3 years ago. He is overrated.
Cool.
He runs draw plays.
He's paid like a head coach.
He should have cashed in when his name was out because he is garbage. Yeah, they run the same.
Yeah.
They run like 4 plays every game.
Yeah, you know what, Jimmy? He was waiting for that Cowboys job instead of taking all the other jobs that was being offered to him.
When you prepare to play the Cowboys, I know the film sessions must be short because they run like 4 plays.
Yeah. Draw coming.
Incorporate 13 penalties.
Let's move on to
give
Jimmy's.
You.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did you say?
No, go ahead. I'm done.
I'm afraid of Dez Bryant.
I'll wrap this football segment up with this. Brett Favre and Childress in the media taking shots at each other. Of course, we all know that Childress kind of went into his press conference saying how Favre can't keep throwing these, you can't keep giving the ball to the other team if you expect to win. Anybody think Childress was wrong for doing this in the media?
Well, as the War Room's official Favre hater, let me speak on this real quick. I think that Chili was actually wrong. Because here's my thing. What you're basically saying is you're expecting Brett Favre not to be Brett Favre. This is what you get when you bring in Brett Favre. You have to take the good with the bad. He's a so-called gunslinger, so you have to take that. My thing is, you know, and even if that is a problem, why are you putting it out there with the media? That's kind of like, that's corny.
Yeah, that's kind of like a kicker. Yeah, that's like what Larry Brown and Allen Iverson used to go through. Larry Brown used to flame him in the media, and Allen Iverson didn't really care for that too much.
I think he's like referring to AI as a kid. Nigga's 30 years old, man.
Those are things that probably need to be said, but Jimmy's right. He probably didn't need to say them in the media, but I also don't want to be, you know, like everybody on the four-letter network. I don't want to be a Favre apologist because everybody on the network took turns ripping Childress just because he ripped Favre. Now, even if you think it's wrong, that kind of made me side with Brad Childress a little bit. Like, yeah,
every former quarterback, I should say, that works for the four letter was outraged by that.
And Michael Wilbon.
Yeah, Michael Wilbon, yeah.
Yeah, but they take up Favre is a fraud. We all know that. We just don't want to. Some of us don't want to admit it, but we all know it. I actually sat on the phone with the Favre apologist on our panel, and he like got quiet as we sat on the phone. I said, "Here comes another pick." We all knew it was coming. And what did he do? Throw a pick? I mean, but the bottom line is, when he throws a pick, they still take it. At this point, he can't do any wrong. Favre can come out this week and throw 16 interceptions, and they'll take up for him.
Got to keep picking alive, baby.
Speaking of this week, though, do you think if he plays, because we know he has supposedly a severe injury, two injuries actually in the same ankle, do you think if he plays this week, it's just them catering to him and his streak, or do you think this is really what Brad Childress wants to do? Because it sounds to me like he wants to go with Tavares.
Me
but
too.
At the same time.
Me too.
Yeah, if he doesn't let him go out there and continue his streak, though, it's like, what was all the preseason stuff for? What was sending everybody down there to beg the dude to come back? It's like they kind of made their bed at this point, so they got to land it. If the dude
want
to go out there.
I would want him to play so he can keep, like, throwing picks so I can keep laughing, and he keeps proving my point further and further. So I actually want him to play and I hate to root against him. I root for somebody to do bad, but I'm doing that. I'm rooting for him to do bad. I'm not going to lie. Yes, I am, War Room. I hope Paul comes out and throws 5 picks because he's a fraud.
You want him to throw him to the same person so they can get that
4
so they can burn that room down with all those jerseys? That's corny.
Absolutely.
But look, y'all, that's our football talk for the week because I see our guest is on the line. We're going to move on. You guys actually know how to get in touch with us. You know, go to our website, and all the information you need is on the website, warroomsports.com. So, Jimmy, I want you to take us into this best ever segment. Bring on our guests.
Okay.
Welcome them.
Yeah, in honor of the World Series, although I doubt anybody on here is watching, we want to do a greatest baseball movie of all time. We want to do a best ever segment. But we also, before we do that, want to introduce our baseball correspondent, Mr. Brent B-E-Z-E. We want to bring him on and see what his thoughts are about the World Series and also what happened to our Phillies. Brent.
What's up, brother?
There's a World Series being played this year?
I don't know. I think they canceled.
Say it again?
I think
they canceled. Once the Phillies and Yankees ain't make it, they put it on Nickelodeon. I think that's what they planned.
Yeah, I know Fox was a little bit upset not to have one of the big name teams in the
in the
World Series this year, but we can't knock the accomplishments of two teams that won the division this year. The players that you know and love, either from the Yankees or the Phillies, but they had pretty good players on their team too. So, you know, and they beat the two big market teams. So, let them play.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on the series, though?
Whoa, what's my thoughts on the series? Well, the Giants. They continue to surprise everybody with the big hits and coming up with wins against the big pitchers. So, so far, I think they're two evenly matched teams, truthfully. The pitching goes to me in the favor of the Giants. You got Lincecum, Kane, and Sanchez, and the rookie pitched. He didn't pitch that well against the Phillies, but they got him out in the third inning. Actually, I don't even think he made it through the third inning, and he still won the game. But pitching goes to the Giants. Hitting, I think, goes to the Texas Rangers. Pretty formidable lineup with Hamilton and Guerrero and Cruz and Michael Young and so on and so on. But they're evenly matched. It's going to be a long series. I think it's going to be a long. I think it's going to be almost 6-7. It's probably going to be 6-7 games.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. I know that we all rooting for the. We all did root for the Phillies. So, who do you? Who would you like to see win the series?
It doesn't matter. Sorry about that. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter to me who wins the series. Who I think is going to win the series. I think the Rangers are going to win it in six. But as you can see, you know, we thought, or well, a lot of us on this. Well, a lot of us thought the Phillies were going to beat the Giants. The Giants keep coming back and winning, so can't really go against them. So, well, I think the Rangers are going to. I think the Rangers are going to pull it out in six.
So why did the Phillies lose? Why did the Phillies lose? And now you think, what do you feel about Ryan Howard striking out looking? Him and Rodriguez, A-Rod, they both went out looking.
Well,
that's too much money to be watching.
The Phillies
pitching.
Lost. The Phillies lost because the Giants pitching, their starting pitching, their bullpen pitching. Was really good, and as they say, good pitching shuts down really good hitting. So Giants pitch well. You got to give them credit. They pitch well, and they did the things that the Phillies did not do: move the runners, good defensive plays, you know, things like that. That the Phillies were looking for the big homer. Like the example we talked about not too long ago when who was on third base with no outs? Was it Jason Wirth? That time was the game. It was either game four or game five. Jason Wirth was on third base when
no outs. Yeah, it was Jason Wirth. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, pop up and two strikeouts after that when you just have to get the bat on the ball. Choke up, you know, choke up on the bat. At least put some wood on the ball to get it out in the outfield or somewhere for the runner. Little things like that that caused the Phillies to not win that series. And you know, Giants pitching, it was really good. I mean, you know, you got to get credit where credit is due. You can't just sit up there and say, well, the Phillies should have did this and that, and the Giants played well. They played well.
Well, I have a question for you. Moving forward, what is the Phillies' number one move they need to make in the offseason moving forward to get him back?
Well, truthfully, they probably need to strengthen up their bullpen a lot.
Getting
a left-hand pitcher.
Cliff Lee.
He don't like it no more.
Cliff Lee said he's glad
that we lost.
Yeah, Cliff Lee said he's glad we lost. And also, Cliff Lee is pissed at the Yankees, too, for spitting on his wife, the fans.
Philly's probably going to need a right-hand bat after Worth leaves. I don't know if that platoon is going to work, the platoon idea that people are talking about is going to work, or even moving Ruiz or Rollins up to five. I don't know what they're going to do, but they're going to need a right-hand bat in the lineup. They definitely need to strengthen their bullpen.
Let me ask you a question. You think it's no shot? You think it's no shot of worth staying, or do you think that he should stay or he shouldn't stay? What's your thoughts on that?
I don't really think he's gonna stay, Jimmy. I really don't think so.
Okay.
He's dealing with Scott Boras. Phillies don't like to give out long term contracts. I mean, they gave one to Ryan Howard, but they really don't like to give up long term contracts. And like Amaro says, he can't continue to pay everybody $15, $16, $20 million a year. I don't really think, and they got that hard cap, you know, $140 million, and that's it. But you never know. But I don't think they're gonna sign Wirth. I mean, if they sign, they want to sign Wirth, they're gonna be looking like in their three, four year range. And
Wirth is represented by Scott Boras.
Yes, he is.
He gone.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, Brent.
Yeah, he ain't
coming. He said, oh.
Silly stuff is depressing me. So
yeah,
we're gonna let you start it off. We're gonna let you start it off. What's I'm not gonna ask you your favorite, I'm gonna ask you the best. You can give us two if you want. You can give us your favorite and you can give us the best. It could be the same thing. But greatest baseball movie of all time.
Oh, greatest baseball movie of all time. I mean, I can't sit up and say I've seen every baseball movie. I thought Major League, if you know me, you know I talk about Jimmy Rollins a lot. He reminds me of Willie Mays Hayes from Major League. I always think Major League is funny. That's one of my funniest baseball movies right there. Hardball, I thought Hardball was pretty good. I was a little emotional when G-Baby got killed. But
G-Baby.
Yeah, that was his name, so D-Baby, right?
You're going with Major League? You going with Major League?
Huh?
You going with
Major League? Major League is my favorite. It's one of my favorites.
Yo,
yeah, anything
I
after
love
Major League.
I wish we had some sound clips from Major League. They got so many quotables. Jimmy, greatest baseball movie of all time.
All right, well, I'm going to tell you, well, here's the thing. The greatest baseball movie of all time is probably Major League. My favorite is Hardball, Paul. R.I.P.G., baby. Hardball had me, like, shedding man tears. I was like, yo, this is a very emotional movie, man. But I want to say rest in peace to G-Baby as I say Hardball, Paul, my favorite movie.
Yo, I've actually seen a whole lot of baseball movies, and I don't remember if I've seen Hardball or not. I might have to pick that up. I watched like 50 movies this week.
Is that the joint with Keanu Reeves?
Yeah, that's with Keanu Reeves, yes.
Yeah, he was like the I think I saw that back in the day. That movie is from like early in 2000. I think I saw that joint back in the day.
Yeah,
yeah,
greatest baseball movie of all time.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people say like Bull Durham's pretty good, but you know, I haven't seen that in a long time, so like bits and pieces I remember of that. But
Bull Durham,
Major League,
is
a movie.
It's another comedy, like you know, like Major League, but it was based in the minor leagues.
In the minor leagues,
yeah. Funny, you know, I can
with
say it's definitely up there, but I wouldn't put that in front of Major League. PJ, what you got?
Yo, I was thinking about this earlier in the past couple of days, man, and I can't get past my favorite, which I'm calling the best because it's my favorite, which is probably not how I should be looking at it, but it's The Fan with Robert De Niro and Wesley Snipes. Because one, like, Robert De Niro is one of my favorites.
All right,
my right, all right, my it's like, he's one of my favorite actors, but it was like a suspenseful, like, psychotic thriller. Like, that's why I like it. I mean, it was the plot, obviously, everything was about baseball, where Robert De Niro was, like, a big Giants fan, and he was a big fan of Wesley Snipes. Name was, like, Bobby Rayburn, and he came and got signed with the San Francisco Giants. It was actually, for it to be, like, a suspenseful, more of a, like, a psychotic thriller type of movie, there's actually a decent amount of baseball in it for that. Then he also has some nice shots.
I kind of thought that the baseball action in The Fan was kind of corny. Like, if you see when dude was hitting, like, home runs, the way the ball was flying, they never really showed the ball off of the bat. Like, he'll hit
it. Right. Yeah.
The camera just being in the air, the ball flying by, like, an airplane. Other than that, it was a good movie, you know.
I liked it because I like Robert De Niro. He kind of was, like, he, like, lost his job, I think, and he lost custody of his kid, and he was just, like, going through it, but he was already psycho, and he was just diverting all his energy into, like, following Bobby Rayburn, and then he ended up.
His ex-wife was treating him like a piece of doo-doo.
Exactly. Yo, Jim, do you remember at the end when he had kidnapped his son, and Wesley Snipes, Bobby Rayburn, he gave him the ultimatum, like he had to hit a home run in order to get his son back. So it was
it was a whole movie
just in case somebody didn't see it. I would say that's my favorite, but I have a couple other ones that I do like League of Their Own, but, you know, y'all can weigh
I didn't even think about that. That was a really good one.
What the hell? League of Their Own was a good movie.
Yeah, League of Their Own was a really good movie. I forgot all about that one. That was really good.
Yeah, and Field of Dreams was kind of good, too, even though there wasn't enough baseball action, but it was kind of decent, too. Kevin Costner and James Earl Jones.
Sandlot?
Yeah, Sandlot was up there. Sandlot's up there.
No, what were you saying with James Earl Jones? Because he was in that, too.
Field of Dreams.
Because I noticed that there's a lot of people who've been in, like, two baseball movies.
Typecast once they do well.
But Robert De Niro was in a joint called Bang the Drum Slowly that I watched yesterday.
Carol,
I never got to finish that. He was in that in The Fan. Wesley Snipes was in The Fan in Major League. What's your boy name? Charlie Sheen was in Major League and Eight Men Out. Yo, it's a lot of people. And then you got James Earl Jones and Sandlot and the one that you were just talking about. Field of Dreams.
Was, was, Who's 8 Man Out about? Is that the black, the white, the well, black, the black,
Black Fox,
the Black Fox Scandal movie?
I'm glad that you asked because I'm gonna go. I think that 8 Man Out is probably the best one I've seen. Major League is my favorite by far. I know every line in Major League. But I think y'all know I'm a movie dude, so I kind of lean towards true stories. And 8 Men Out was about the Black Sox, which were really the White Sox, Chicago White Sox scandal of 1919, where they threw the World Series because the gamblers were actually paying the players to do so. And,
I want to say something real quick because we got a call online. Before we take the call, I want to say one thing. Also, honorable mention goes to what you may not consider a baseball movie, but I do, is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
But look, I got some in like different categories. So y'all know me. I've watched a whole bunch before, and then this week I watched like 75 movies. But have any of y'all? Now this is when you get into like the romantic comedy. Have y'all seen Fever Pitch with Jimmy Fallon?
Uh-huh.
Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore.
When he at the White Sox game, he's like a real big Red Sox fan.
Red Sox. It was when the Red Sox won.
Red Sox, yeah.
The first joint.
Yeah.
Yo, that's a good movie. Y'all should watch that. Then you got, if you're just talking about straight up love story, For Love of the Game with Kevin Costner. Great movie.
Okay.
It's about a pitcher. He's like an old dude. It might be his last game. He's in the midst of throwing the perfect game. But in between every inning, like when he's sitting in the dugout by himself, because you know how they leave you alone during the perfect game, he's thinking about his chick, how they met, how they broke up, you know, life and all that kind of stuff. It's hot. Y'all should check that out if y'all haven't seen it. That's the greatest love story baseball movie of all time.
Did you see the one about with Dennis Quaid about the, I forget the name of it, but it's supposed to be the true story about the guy who played for the Rays at the time?
Oh, The Rookie.
Okay, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, The Rookie was pretty good. That was pretty good. Yo, it's a lot of good baseball.
In the chat room, somebody said the movie with Drew Barrymore was Trash Truck Juice. But,
yeah, that movie was funny. Jimmy Fallon was crazy.
We also got a call on the line.
Go ahead, take it.
Let me take this call real quick. Let me see. 570-762, you're in the war room. What's your name? Where you calling from?
It's your boy Jay, man.
Oh, Jay, call up back. Jay, you got something to say about the movies?
Yeah, because y'all in there talking about, you know, y'all talking about your favorite, and y'all talking into categories. That sound like a blockbuster click right now.
Yo, I watch movies all day, every day, like 50 Tyson.
You already know, man. A bottle of Ciroc, and, you know what I mean, or some Bacardi 151 into movies, and you good. But,
you'd be twisted while you watch.
You know, get it twisted and throw in a good movie and hint it to her. Like, yo, look, that look good.
Yo, what's your favorite?
I'm gonna go with y'all with Major League, right? But then, now we got a sleeper that I also grew up on and I loved. And ain't none of y'all say nothing about the original Bad News Bears.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The original with the little Mexican kid and the little badass kid on the motorcycle. That rebel, the dude on the bike that was 13. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that was.
You know what?
Amazing.
That was 19. I haven't seen Bad News Bears in a long time, and it's actually next in my Netflix queue, and I didn't get to get to it before we did the show.
Yeah, that was the truth, man, and the drunk coach.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Buttermaker, and then
the one for the loved one. I like the one with Jessica Biel, Summer Catch.
I didn't see that.
The dude from Scary Movie, the one dude, the blonde haired dude. And they had to do what's his name, Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jessica Biel.
I saw that, John. That is all right.
It came out in 2001.
I like it for Jessica Biel playing. I mean, you know, all it pretty much was the sum of the moral of the story was, you know, he was having a rough time in the minors. Dude turned around, met the love of his life during the summer league. and then was pitching the perfect game and decided to walk away from his perfect game to follow her to the airport before she flew away.
Okay,
that's one of them. That's like every other story we've seen. But you know what, Jay? Good looking. We got to move on past this movie, but that's a good catch on that Bad News Bears because that's definitely a classic. That's a classic.
Yo,
yeah,
my question is,
y'all slept on that one for a minute.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jay. We'll talk to you.
I don't care. Y'all be easy. I'm going to just want to get on, but y'all have a good night, y'all. See y'all next time.
Yeah, y'all.
No doubt. Yo, Jessica Biel is my favorite baseball movie.
Yo, Jessica Biel in that movie, God, I think Freddie Prinze Jr. was like worked for the landscape company that was cutting her grass, and I think her family was like rich, and she was at the pool, like in the beginning of the movie, and I just vividly remember like the shot of her in her swimsuit, and that's a good movie, dog.
Yo, they got her
check it out.
Draws in that Adam Sandler, Kevin James movie where they was playing the gay dudes, where they were acting like they were gay. Yeah, she was.
Yeah,
she's still
having the booty out. That's what's up. I ain't mad at
her. She know. She know.
Yeah, she know what it is. Yeah, she know she got fans.
Uh-huh,
I'd be like, from the fan for her. But anyway.
He's like, hey, Jesse.
Hey, Jesse. Hey, Pude.
Let's play some ball.
Yo, y'all crazy.
My favorite
baseball movies, and one that comes to mind is with Lacey Duval. She's standing on the mound. That's the. And my other one is with India, and it's called She's the Catcher.
Hold up. Hey, before we address that, yo, let's say thanks to our special guest Brent Easley real quick for coming on and helping us out with this baseball conversation. Good looking out, Brent.
Good looking, Brent.
No problem, man. And Jimmy Scola, stop hating on Brett Favre, man. It's not a good look, man.
Hey, what did I tell you about Luis Scola, by the way? Luis Scola is the most underrated player in the league, man.
Hey Brent, we'll get you back after the series and before spring training.
Brent,
no problem.
Before you go,
yes.
I got a question to ask you. Why can't AI get a run, man?
All right, Brent. All right,
Brent.
We holler. Brad, like, look, we got black dudes talking baseball, and AI can't get over it.
AI going to come back religious from Turkey.
Yo, he going to be a yo. I ain't going to say that. But
yeah.
Let me just run
anyway.
Off. What else we have?
Yo, what comedy genres do y'all like? Because I ain't going to hold you. I'm a big Bernie Mac fan. May his soul rest in peace. And was kind of funny to me, man. I mean, he wasn't a great baseball movie, but the whole idea of him, you know, he becoming an entrepreneur and his whole, like, name and kind of, like, brand being based around his nickname of Mr. 3000.
Oh, yeah,
that he had, like, 2,997. So he tried to come back into baseball like an old head, like 50, trying to get them last three hits. But, comedy, great movie, but, like, I give Bernie Mac a chance. Like, I give people like Martin a chance with movies because I like them, Paul.
Oh yeah, I watch everything Martin and Eddie Murphy do. I can know that it's stupid before I go and see it. But
Dev watching some trash. Cause Eddie Murphy been making some trash, and Dev will go buy it.
Yo, I buy it, Eddie Murphy. I appreciate how many times the brother has made me laugh in my lifetime.
Mr.
3000 was
pretty
funny.
That's like KRS-One in his albums. Like you go buy him because he's KRS-One. And Jimmy done opened my eyes to how many garbage albums your brother has.
Yeah. Bull Durham.
There's a lot of ones they didn't name. How about Soul of the Game, Pride of the Yankees?
Yo, you know what's a real... Yeah, Soul of the Game is good because that was like a Negro League joint. But you know what was a really good movie? It didn't even come out in the movie. It was an HBO joint, I think. The movie 61. That Chronicle
Roger
Maris.
Yeah,
yo,
I saw that.
If I'm flipping channels and I come across that,
no matter what I'm doing or what I got to do, I always find myself watching it, even though I've seen it 20 times already.
Yeah, that was
I'd actually put that up there with the big boys, even though it wasn't a feature film. I think 61
mm-hmm.
was really good. We named the fan, the fan lot. Nobody for Angels in the Outfield.
Yeah.
They actually had
I'll tell you one thing.
That wasn't the original.
Baseball has a lot of good movies.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm
baseball
on the
probably
too,
has
like
the best, may have the best sports movie as a sport, because they have
I don't know
a wide
range. You think so? You think it's better than football or basketball movies?
I don't know. They got a lot, though. I mean, baseball, there are a
yeah,
lot.
I think
basketball and football, there are a lot, too.
Baseball,
I don't know. Honestly, before I sign that on that statement, before I sign the dotted line on that, I would have to check. But I'm looking and going through this exercise, if you will, I'm looking at like them. There are a lot of baseball movies that are pretty good.
Yo, it definitely is. It's a lot. And, you know, again, I want everybody out there to go.
That we were thinking about was 1994, but the original came out in 1951.
Yeah.
1951,
and they had another one that came out in
2000, Angels in the Infield.
Yeah, you're right.
It doesn't sound like
they wore that title out.
Yo, real quick, in the chat room, Naran says, The Natural is the greatest baseball movie of all time, but the reason it gets no love is because the rent is too damn high.
Yo, I watched The Natural recently, and I didn't dislike it. I thought it was a good movie, but I didn't really see why everybody has that in the top 10, because every list I look at is in the top 10. And I thought it was kind of, I don't know. I mean, I don't expect every movie to be real because they're movies, but that joint was a little fantasy land to me.
Yeah, like I said before, it's all about Hardball, and R.I.P. to G, baby. If anybody hasn't seen Hardball, please go see Hardball. It makes the hardest dude cry, folks.
Can I get that on the instant cue?
Yeah, I don't know if it's on the instant cue on Netflix, but definitely, even if it's on put it on your regular cue, yo. I guarantee you will shed a man tear, yo. That joint is a sad movie, yo.
Yeah, and I'm looking at Moat215 in the chat room that said that Fever Pitch was TTJ, translated Trash Truck Juice. Yo, that movie's hot.
He must be a Jimmy Fallon fan.
Jimmy Fallon is hilarious. Plus, the Roots are his house band, so that's it. Not enough.
Sound connection.
He got.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that you know, it's crazy that you say that baseball is the best movie. I'm sitting thinking about that, like, do they really have the best movie? It's a lot of movies, like sports related movies. Not even so much basketball and baseball, I mean just sports in general, like boxing movies.
Boxing has great movies. Since we all like Major League, what did y'all think about the two sequels? Major League 2 in 1994 and then Major League 3 back to the minors in 1998. Was it overkill?
Yeah, the second one
was all right, but I think when the first one is as good as it was, I think you just leave it alone.
Yeah, my man President David Palmer was in Major League, yo.
Yeah, he's you know, he was talking to Joe Boo, and Joe Boo was
talking to Joe Boo.
Like,
yeah, no doubt. Major League has to be the best by far. In my opinion, it's the best by far, but like I said,
it's well, just to clear it up before we go, everybody's picks. Mine, I would say 8 Men Out just because it's a true story. And, you know, it had some good actors in it. It had a young Charlie Sheen, a young Cusack, you know, a couple of other cats. It was a really good movie. But my favorite, so that's the best, but my favorite is Major League. So if we're going greatest of all time, I'll have to say it's definitely between 8 Men Out and 61. And then Major League is the one that I watch over and over and over again. So, Jimmy, you're Major League is your greatest?
I think we all agree on Major League. I think that we all have, like, another one. Yours would be 8 Men Out. Mine would be Hardball, Paul.
Mine would be She Can Catch It, starring the market, Paul.
So you're talking about baseball porn. PJ was the fan.
Mine is the fan.
And I have mine.
Hey,
listen up.
Kill.
I have my,
I have Major League as my favorite with Field of Dreams coming in second. A lot of people know this, but my grandfather who passed away on my dad's side back in 96, he could have went to the majors if he wasn't black, but he was born in 1919, so, you know, you had the Negro Leagues and all of that, and he grew up in Milford, Delaware. So he was a really big baseball aficionado. They say he used to play center field by himself. That's how fast he was. That didn't pass down to me. But when I look at, like, exactly. But when I played, I mean, when I watch Field of Dreams, I think about the history, you know, that my grandfather was a part of. So, you know, Field of Dreams is up there. That's the Major League. My favorite.
Yeah, with the 1990 stops with the ball.
R.I.P. to the dog.
Huh? It's some dude in there that had, like, his nickname had shoes in it, but he was good. He was from that team, from the White Sox back in 1919. I forgot his name.
His name is Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, Shoeless Joe Jackson.
He was
right.
He was a character in that in the Eight Man Out, John. Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Right.
He was actually
Eight Man Out
was
about
dudes,
that team, right?
He was actually dudes who didn't want to take the money. He didn't want to, you know, be a part of that, but they kind of tricked him and told him that everybody was in, and he was that kind of dude. He's kind of a social misty, kind of a social retard a little bit. But so he just went along with the character.
My question is, why was he named Shoeless?
I don't even know. That was his nickname. His name was Shoeless Joe Jackson.
We can get back to you on that one. Yo, before we go, I just want to know, can I consider Boys in the Hood a baseball movie? Because the boy did say he played a little baseball.
It's a football movie, too, though.
He's
like
trying to win a scholarship. That's a football and baseball movie.
And before we go, I went to a celebrity baseball game with my co-host, Dev, and we saw AI smack like four homers.
That was a softball game, and Vince Carter was back
like
there.
Dion.
My question is, AI can't get a run?
Right.
He might get a run with the White Sox.
Jim, we still got about a minute and a half. So that's that. There you have it. Major League is the overwhelming favorite here. Maybe not everybody's greatest, but we all have Major League in common the list.
Yo, Jay called up and brought the Bad News Bears. I want to know what y'all think about that remake. I know y'all saw the remake with Billy Bob in it.
It's another one of them things like the remake was unnecessary. Unnecessary.
Pretty much.
So we're going to come back, not next week, everybody, but on the 11th, we're going to come back with the greatest of all time. And we're going to talk about basketball movies. That's two shows from now, so y'all need to tune in. But go ahead, Jimmy, take us out and tell them what we're going to be doing on the show next week.
Yes, sir. First off, RIP to G-Baby again. We'd like to thank everybody for joining us in the War Room this evening. We hope you all enjoyed tonight's show. A special thanks to tonight's guest, War Room baseball contributor, Brent Easley. Please join us next week, same time, same place, and we'll discuss the results of Week 8 of the NFL season and look ahead to Week 9. We'll again check on the early progress of the NBA season and talk about the World Series champion. We'll also be rapping with Rob, where our special guest will be none other than Rob Parker of ESPN's First Take with Skip Bayless and his team writer for ESPNNewYork.com. He'll be with us next week. Most importantly, and as usual, we'll get you caught up with all the biggest stories in the week of sports. Make sure you're here with us because you don't want to miss next week's show. Enjoy Game 2 of the World Series if you're watching. Until next week, everybody, we will holler.
Holler.
AI can't get a run. AI can't get a run, y'all. Holler at us.